Rewind. Rewind.
This week on The Serious Side.
While everyone knew that the red light cameras would soon go dark, the actual shutting down of the cameras at 10 a.m. this morning proved to be a popular topic for Houstonians paying their traffic tickets.
I'm glad they're gone.
Sometimes I think it's unfair the way they catch you when you go through the light.
It is a harsh reality less popular with Mayor Anise Parker, who not only campaigned to keep the cameras, but now must also find a way to compensate for the $7 to $10 million a year the cameras pumped into the Houston Police Department.
Shania Davis's mother, Antoinette Davis, made her first court appearance, where the 25-year-old Fayetteville woman is charged with selling her daughter as a sex slave to traffic the young girl in prostitution.
None of that is disloyalty. It is self-defense. It is the acknowledgement that, as my hero Thurber wrote, you might as well fall flat on your face as lean over too far backward. That is what the base is saying to this president about his presidency.
Good morning and welcome to The Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Today is January 2nd, 2011, and you're listening to a very special Rewind edition of The Serious Side. Of course, I'm Jay. Folks, we want you to enjoy the show. We hope that you guys enjoyed your holidays. And, of course, we'll be back here live January 9th, next Sunday. So, meanwhile, sit back and relax and enjoy a very special Rewind edition of The Serious Side.
First up, he is the co-host of the Jay Ryle Show, executive producer of the True Purpose Development Show and Ladies First Radio. Let's say good morning to Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great this morning, man. Doing great this morning. Next up, she is the host of the True Purpose Development Show. She is a co-host of the Jay Ryle Show, a TJRS contributor, and she's also the author of the book, Pregnant in the Spirit. Let's say good morning to Dr. Princess Adia. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you? How are you, Mr. Elliott?
I'm good, Princess. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing fine this morning. GOG is out today as a sore throat, so we wish him well, and we'll see him hopefully next week. Let's get into it. First up, we're talking about the ignorant voter. You know, this past November, people went to the polls and they voted for congresspeople. They voted for different referendums within their own cities and states. Mr. Elliott, I'll go to you this morning first. To me, the most dangerous person in America is the person or the uninformed voter. Do you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly, Jay, but, you know, most voters, man, are ill-informed of what's really out on the table. Most voters will believe what your Sean Hannity's or your Bill O'Reilly's would say instead of doing, or even Keith Olbermann. Instead of actually going out there and doing their own investigation and finding out what's really been said, what's really going on, and how things are being perceived and said, man, and what's really out there on the table. Most of our voters just don't really care. They'll rely on the media instead of actually going out there and doing their own investigations. And that's what really, really gets up under my skin, because they're ill-informed of what's actually happening.
Well, now, when we think about this, doctor, now, you know, the bottom line is, I say the reason why I call them the most dangerous people in America, because, once again, most people vote with their hearts versus their head. I mean, I understand that there are tough economic times out there. There are things out there that are not going well for individuals and their particular families. But at the same time, people are not aware, and they cannot see the bigger picture. And I understand this now, because, you know, one of the things they talk about in war is collateral damage. You know, and you hate to use that term, but we have to understand that people will suffer. Some people will have to suffer before it will get better. Don't you agree?
100%. We even touched on that last week, that it will unfortunately become chaotic before there is change, effective change. So, and I also agree with Mr. Elias that a lot of times people are uninformed. And they do let that accompanied with the emotion. It's a pretty dangerous thing at the polls that's going on. So,
yeah, we yeah. had we We witnessed that here in the city of Houston back in November. People voted against the red light cameras, and so you know, because of the fact that they felt that they were being, you know, people are always trying to find ways to, you know, break the law. It's always, you know, us against the man. So the reason why people voted against the red light cameras because they felt they were unfair, blah 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 blah. But what they didn't realize, Ms. Elias, is that what it did, it provided funding for the Houston Police Department, which means less patrols. It also funded trauma centers throughout the city of Houston. So really, because of the fact that people are trying to get ahead and try to, you know, don't want the cameras checking them out, they voted against something that really, in a city where money is really scarce, they voted against something that was pumping money into the city. So once again, from an economic standpoint, you know, being dumb and not really knowing all the facts, you could really end up hurting our funding, our short funding, public services that are barely needed in a city of this size.
That's true. I think about what President Obama said when he said, you know, he thought the voters would actually know what all the accomplishments that this administration has produced, and he thought that they would just, you know, come out in droves because of all the things that they've done, but once again, man, the media, I mean, the ill-informed voters have not really paid attention. It befuddles me, man, that they are this ill-informed, man. And this day and age with this much information, with the internet out there, the information highway of it all, and you're that ill-informed of what goes on. That you don't even get on a computer when somebody says something and really dig into it. And I
Google
mean, it that long. It would not take you that long. It really boggles me how we don't even get into that.
Yeah. It's a situation, doctor, where once again people are not doing their homework, and so, you know, if you let the media. But see, here's the deal, and this is the reason why people like Sean Hannity, people like Rush Limbaugh, and even Keith Olbermann, you know, if we really wanted to keep it real, these types of people are dangerous because everyone has their own agenda, everyone has their own political beliefs and ideas, and so the bottom line is that if a particular politician or a particular person does something that any of these people don't agree with, then, you know, they have, you know, we say the president has the bully pulpit, but, you know, they have a pulpit as well. You know, and the bottom line is that they have a platform. You know, like, for example, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, this guy has, you know, a million plus people who listens to him. And so if you're only getting your information from one source, you know, once again, what type of individual are you, and what does that do, and what does that say about the makeup of this country of ours?
Well, you know, and speak of Rush Limbaugh, there are a lot of people, and I have talked to so many people who make the choices that their favorite media, radio activist makes, or radio talk show host or talk show host, they follow and believe so loyally to whoever they listen to all the time. They tend to oftentimes lean towards what they're saying because they trust their word. So a lot of times you have, even I'll just say this, even within the Christian population, even as it related to President Obama's election, there were many, many, many talk shows speaking of the fact that he was an antichrist. So because of that, there was this huge, huge following towards that belief. Even I know there was, I had a friend who also did the same thing because she did not pay attention. At first, her opinions were that of the media because it was so flooded with that perspective. So it took her to take time to actually get involved into the debates, et cetera, and to learn for herself. And unfortunately, that is not what most Americans do. Many of them just follow who it's easy to follow, their opinions and their views.
you know, Mr. Elias, we talked about this a few weeks back here on the show, people criticizing the president for being such a media-savvy president, a president that appears on MTV, a president that appears on The Daily Show. And, you know, once again, the president, in his defense, he says, listen, the reason why I do this is because, once again, I need to reach people, I need to reach all voters. And we all know that some voters don't follow politics closely, and so I need to go where they are. And people criticize him for that. But if we're talking about the ignorant voter, it just seems to me, Mr. Elias, that he has to go and do these different venues in order to reach people who are not really out there trying to get this information for themselves.
Exactly. It has to be a media blitz. We had a governor in Chicago that got impeached, and he went on a media blitz to let everybody know and presume his innocence. And I do believe, man, in some instances, that helped him with his case. Now, they're going to read. He got acquitted of every charge except for one. Now, I mean, was it because of the media blitz that he put out there? Maybe, maybe not. But he put his point out there. He didn't go away silently like most people would want him to. So he put out the media blitz to let everyone know, hey, look, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. This is how I'm being railroaded. So, I mean, with him coming over and over and over again, and then he started having a radio show in Chicago on the news radio. So, I mean, it helps. It helps to have the voters informed. But once again, man, I mean, without us actually taking the initiative to dig into what is said or what's being said, man, we're gonna remain ignorant.
10 minutes after the hour, it's the Serious Side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the BTR Radio Network. Now, is it realistic, Princess Ondilia? Now, you're a person that's on the move, and you really don't have a lot of time to catch news and things of that nature. Is it really realistic for us to expect people to really dig and do their homework before they go to the polls? I mean, is that realistic?
That's very realistic. I mean, just as simple as it takes for an individual to log on to Facebook and things of that nature, wherein which there are well over 16 million people on Facebook, and I'm sure that accounts for a lot of those voters, it does not take long. The Internet has made it very easy as a microwave dinner, okay? You put the word in, and you're going to get some information. Learn how to search. You can look up some information very quickly. So I think it's our obligation, not just something that is realistic. It is something that should be mandated, and it is very, very important, especially in the state that our country is in, the state that we're in all as a people.
Well, but here we go, Mr. Elias. You know, we've talked about this on numerous occasions here when we talk about, okay, the ignorant voter. Now, a person can say, well, wait a minute, I'm not an ignorant voter. I know I voted for change, and I don't see change. And so maybe we shouldn't call them the ignorant voter. Maybe we should call them the unrealistic voter if you think you can turn things around in 2 years or in 18 months. So, you know, listen, I mean, is there a case of that where people are saying, well, you know what, listen, you know, my situation remains the same. Okay, when I voted for President Obama, we'll use him because obviously that's the well-known name here. When I voted for President Obama, I was unemployed. Well, guess what? 2 years later, I'm still unemployed. I don't see anything different. So I am voting for change again, and that's the message that the voters sent in November. So is it a situation where it's not really the ignorant voter, but the voter, the impatient voter, I should say, maybe?
Well, I don't agree with that, Jay. I mean, if you voted for change, look and see what change that has happened. Maybe it's not the change that you wanted, but there is change that's happening. I mean, health care reform. All the things that this man has done as far as the credit card implements. I mean, with saving the GM, the auto industry. I mean, there's been change that's happened. Maybe it's not the change that you wanted, but if you voted for change, you need to be aware that it might not be the change you want, but there is a change that's happening. So I still would say that's ignorance if you're trying to say there's no change happening. There is change. It might not be the change that you want.
But then let's go ahead and let me press you on that a little bit. When you talk about the change that you want, well, if it's not the change that you want, then people are going to vote for the change that they believe in. And so the bottom line is that if they don't think they're seeing the results of their vote, then they're going to go in a different direction. And I'll turn to you, Doctor, or do you hear? My question is this. Can we blame the voter if they voted for something to happen and it hasn't happened? Can we say they are ignorant voters, or are we saying that they're impatient voters? Are they irresponsible voters? I mean, where should we put these people as far as in a category? How do we label these people?
I'm going to say they're unconsciously ignorant. This is the issue here. A lot in America, we expect to plant a seed and it grow in a day.
Right.
That's just the name of the game here, okay? In life, in our own personal lives, and, you know, I speak of this all the time, we say we want to live a life of happiness, but the price tag that goes along with that, we don't want to sell it. We don't want to be involved with that. We just want the happiness. Then when you get people who have experienced the happiness, which happens to be a very, very minute few in the entire world, then we want to talk about them and say how rare they are. When in fact, as some people will tell you, don't talk about me until you've been in my shoes, because I've gone through so much to get here. So what we have here, just as in our country, President Barack Obama, he's a strategist. I love him, okay? I love his strategy. It's almost, and it's sad, but it's very even difficult to look online and Google President Obama and change, you're not going to come up with much either. You're going to have to dig through that like it's CIA, okay? But we have to understand that in order for us to get change, there is a price that we must pay. And there's going to be some juggling here, and there's going to be some chaos that is inevitable. It's inevitable. That's the journey to any change and any experience of transcending to some place that we've never been, which will give us the result that we're asking for. So, yeah, we're going to have to do homework. And, yes, they're ignorant. They're frustrated. And they are just being typical of the American people of, you know, give it to me now.
Yeah. 347-851-272 is the call-in number. We welcome your comments and your questions. It's the serious side of the TGR, 60 minutes after the hour. Now, Ms. Talias, let me say this. Let me ask you this question. When we talk about this now, when we look into this and we really dig deep, okay, because I think that's what this is all about, how does a voter, besides the Internet, because we talked about, you know, Sean Hannity, we talked about Keith Olbermann, but, you know, listen, you know, Dr. O'Dea, she mentioned Facebook. I mean, so, you know, we've always had questions about the blogosphere. Remember the situation that happened with Sherry Sherrod. You know, everything that you read is not the gospel. So then I guess the question is, how do you go and get, you know, information that is the correct information, the right information, so that way you are better informed before you step behind the vote, before you step into the voting booth?
First you find an unbiased news source that's going to give you the straight truth from both sides. And that's what you depend on. I mean, honestly, man, MSNBC, they're for the Democrats, and the Fox News is for the Republican. Now, I have seen Keith Olbermann go after the president when he felt that he was that the American people was wrong. But, you know, now I'm seeing Fox News give the president some praise for this bill tax cut that they're trying to push through. So you got to go to an unbiased media source to get your actual facts, and somebody who's just going to be straight down the middle. And there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah. I think that people are impatient, and but it's easy for me to say because I'm not in that situation. I think that what we need to understand is that you know, most of us who are a part of this show and people who are listening to the show for the most part are people who have access to the Internet, people who have access to you know, good paying jobs, people who are in situations where they're not walking into an empty house or a cold house during the winter months. And so for people like that who are really desperate, people who really need change, and we're talking, you know, when we say change, okay, fine, we can talk about change that we believe in. You know, a lot of this is centered around the president, but I don't want us to lose focus and the fact that, once again, I brought up a situation that happened in my city, you know, a situation where people voted against red light cameras because they felt that, you know, it's always us against the police, you know. And not only were they stupid by doing this, they took away a significant amount of resources and funding from a city who really and truly needs it, but then think about it from a safety standpoint. Because of the fact that you don't want someone watching you break the law, you vote this thing down. And it's ridiculous when people don't pay attention and think. Now, this is a situation where you don't have to do a lot of digging. The bottom line is that it's the right thing to do. So now with the red light cameras being down, and I'm not sure in different cities across the world and across this country of ours, red light cameras exist. But now that the cameras are down, people are, hey, willy-nilly run lights, do the things that they want to do, and people end up getting killed because of this irresponsible vote. And so not only are we talking about people who are in dire straits and really want to see change overnight, Mr. Elias, we're talking about people who don't think about just common sense and practical things like a red light camera. Now, let me ask you, would you have voted against that if that would have been on the ballot in November?
No, I wouldn't have voted against the red light camera. We had them in our city. I mean, I think what people are really voting against the red light cameras for is because I know in Illinois, if you're in the middle of the intersection and the light turns yellow, it still snaps your picture and sends you a ticket. Now, I don't know if it's like that in Houston. I know that's been the biggest complaint in Illinois, that, you know, if I get out there and I'm in the middle of the intersection and the light turns yellow and I make a left turn or I'm making a right or left turn, it snaps my picture because it's saying that I've run the light, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe that might be the case there. Maybe you got, frustrated voters. I couldn't tell you that. But once again, We all have to really realize and really research when they come out with something. And I've seen during election time, there was something called proper tax here, and everybody had these signs up in their yards. I went and researched it and found I wanted to vote against it because it sent money where we weren't supposed to be getting it. So, I mean, you have to research it. Just because somebody tells you about it and says, hey, man, this is what's going on, don't take their word for it. I mean, you have to do your own research. You have to find out what's going to hurt you. And if you don't, man, I mean, you could vote for stuff that's going to really, really set you back.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, listen, doctor, one of the things that I will say is that, you know, first of all, people don't, when you talk about voting, you know, you go to the polls, you know, usually it's during, if it's the midterms and you're trying to make sure that a Republican or a Democrat stays in office. In some cases, it's very hard to find the down ballot resolutions, things like, you know, Prop 8 and things of that nature. It's very hard to find those things. So, you know, I guess what people need to do is be patient at the polls and really do their research and find this information.
Yes, this is true. And, you know, I must say this, though. We say that we're saying here today, yeah, do your research, do your research, do your research. There are a lot of people, especially a large portion of those, the urban communities, et cetera, where families feel, look, I don't even have a computer at home, and the only thing I have is a boob tube. So I'm going to focus on that because that's what I have. I'm not going to the library to do research. I mean, the media says it. We have just created a society wherein which the media has become the gospel.
Right.
And really, again, we go right back to who are you loyal to as far as a radio listener or a television listener or a show. That's where the people go. They stick together in the media.
Right. You're absolutely correct. 347-850-1272. Let's get out to D.C. Welcome in Washington, D.C. This is the Serious Side. What's your name and what's your comment?
Hi. My name is Janice, and I am calling because, you know, I heard you talking about the red light cameras, and I don't like them.
Really?
I don't
Why
like.
That?
I do not like the government to have cameras all over the place. I think the government is overstretching their boundaries. It's not the proper role of government.
Okay. Well, now, keep in mind, when you talk about red light cameras now, you know, I don't know if I would necessarily say that it's a part of the government, but what I do think what they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure that they can have law enforcement eyes where you can't have law enforcement officers. Don't you agree that red light cameras will stop people from running red lights, which means could save people lives? No?
Actually, it's very debatable. I have heard that red light cameras cause accidents, but I'm more interested in the freedom perspective and the right to privacy. If we start giving up all these rights, where is it going to end? Or are they going? They just made a change to the televisions that they all had to go digital. Correct?
Right.
Okay, and that was government regulated. No longer are they able to, do the broadcast like they were. And,
right.
You know, so they have control now, and what's to stop them from putting a camera in your television? What's to stop them from putting cameras everywhere? If you go over to England, there are cameras on all the street corners. I don't really want that.
Let me ask you a question.
I want the right to privacy. It's an important right.
I understand that.
Give up.
I agree with that. Now, let me ask you one other question now. I take it that there are red light cameras in D.C., yes or no?
I'm not sure. I'm not in D.C.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me ask you this question now.
I'm actually calling from North Carolina. I happen to have a Washington, D.C. phone number because I have a lot of conversations with people in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Let me ask you this. If it was a situation where red light cameras sponsored things like, you know, helping kids who are victims of accidents, helping to keep cancer centers open, the funding from those red light cameras, would you be opposed to that?
Well, I would be opposed to it. I don't think that that's the proper role of government.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
So
we appreciate
you.
No problem.
I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you so much for listening. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. It's the Sirius side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the BTR Radio Network. And Miss Elias, interesting caller. She talked about she's looking at it from a whole different perspective, and we didn't look at it from that perspective. People may be voting against this because they don't want government in their lives. What say you?
Somehow I can understand that point of view, but I'm looking at Blue Point, and she lives in Europe, and she's saying they have cameras all over, and they have caused accidents over there. And but I do recall watching things on the TV where in England they have cameras on every street corner, like the caller said. But when they had the cameras on the street corner, they caught people either pickpocketing. They caught some people getting beat up, and the police were right there on them as these things were happening. So, I mean, it's got its good and its bad points because I'm like her. I like my right to privacy. I do. But isn't that what your home is for? You know, when you're out in the public, you're out in the public.
I disagree with that.
What say you?
I disagree. I mean, you have your point of view, and you're entitled. I just feel that it's an oxymoron here. I mean, just like the caller said, I started to mention it earlier, that, yes, individuals will definitely fight for their right for privacy. You know, we're big on that. However, in America, the crime is very high, okay? So as she said in England, you know, they're right there, and as you said, Mr. Elias, that the police are right there, Johnny on the spot. When you go outside of your home, you're safer inside of your home. When you go out those doors, who is watching you? I mean, I think about the urban communities here. God forbid, if there were some cameras on every street, I mean, maybe people would think twice about doing some crime or killing somebody or pickpocketing or whatever. So unfortunately, though, Jay, to your situation in Texas, I understand that you're really just saying, you know, they didn't look at all of the other contributing factors to the red light.
Right. Right.
They only looked at, and most people probably felt as she did. You know what? They're trying to check in on me. They're trying to see what I'm doing, you know. Well, most people, you know, if you're not doing anything, what's the big deal? Do what you're supposed to do. What's the big deal? But they won't go past the privacy perspective to even dig within to see, well, what is really going on with this and who is it helping? You know, you should know this, J.M., Ms. Elias. American people are not for helping people. That's not our objective as a people, right?
Yeah.
It's all about me without the understanding of others. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Well, that's the last word for this set. Good topic. Good start to the show. Can't wait to get into topic two. We're talking about young girls being sold into sex slavery. Very touching topic. It was very hard for me to do research for that. So anyway, folks, keep it right here. It's The Serious Side. 29 minutes after the hour. We'll be back right here on The Serious Side of the TGRS. We'll be right back.
This is your resident map of the South, Mom to Little Donna, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The J-Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The J-Rouse Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The J-Rouse Show. A show for women, by women.
I decided to pick up my things, to love you the same. I was tired of giving you my all and watching me fall. Now I'm inspired to move out of the way. Things will never be the same when you got in my face to see you. Always thought about change, but now it's too late. You never could see past your them jeans. Even when you with me, I became a routine of using and abusing my love, abusing my trust. If it ain't about love, you're selfish. I can't take it no more. I'm tired of this war. I don't know what I'm here for. I decided to pick up my things. How could you leave me always standing alone? You were the king of my home. See, I'd support you, rub your back and sing, and cook your favorite things, love your favorite way. I'm leaving, I'm tired of pleasing you. Go and do what you do, baby, you know that I'm through. I decided to pick up some things. That it hurts, you know that it's time, you know that it hurts to say goodbye. You love who you love, I can get by. I'm not gonna sleep on it, my decision's fine. Pick up my
1 week ago, Davis called police claiming she awoke to find her daughter missing from their Fayetteville mobile home. The toddler was then seen on security video in a nearby hotel in the arms of a man who was identified as 29-year-old Mario McNeil. He later turned himself in and is now charged with first-degree kidnapping. As investigators continue to search for answers in the tragic case, family members of the young girl say they can't believe the girl's mother would harm Shania, but still they want justice.
34 minutes after the hour, it's the Serious Side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the BTR Radio Network. And we're talking about sex slaves. We're talking about young girls being sold into the sex slavery trade, as you listen to the lead-in, which was a very difficult story for me to prepare for, obviously, especially if you are a parent of young girls. Mr. Elias, man, this is a very tragic thing, and that particular story dealing with Shania Davis, you know, for those of y'all who may not know, this story is probably about a year old now, but, you know, the bottom line is that this was a beautiful young 5-year-old that her mother, who was a crack fiend, sold her into sex slavery, and people that she sold her daughter to ended up killing her daughter. Very tragic story. And I tell you, it really hits you in the heart when you hear about things like this. Don't you agree?
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, you have got to be one of the most disgusting human beings on the face of this earth to do something of this nature, man. You know, I've traveled the world, man, and, and when I was in Taiwan, you know, I saw the Americans coming over there dealing with these young girls, man, and some instances young boys, and I thought to myself, how disgusting and despicable are you? And for this mother to sell her daughter because of some crack, oh my God, man, I my heart goes out to the young girl, but I still would like to hurt her mother. I would. I know it's wrong to say that. We're in the media. We're not supposed to go that way with it, but I would love to hurt her mother.
Yeah, it's just a sad situation. And since we're talking about that particular situation, you know, she's actually incarcerated and she's pregnant. So, you know, once again, she's going to have another child now. I'm pretty sure since she's in jail, that child will be taken away from her. But, you know, Dr. Odia, it's a sad state of affairs when people sell kids into sex slavery. It's just a sad, what has our world come through?
You know what? Again, back to the state of selfishness and really the lack of concern about anyone else. And unfortunately, that even pertains to mothers and fathers. What she's done is unbelievable. I could not even imagine. I have a 14-year-old daughter. I could not imagine that. And, of course, I'm not on crack either.
Right.
So she apparently is not in her right mind. And it's no justification, but she's not in her right mind. She's on crack. And, you know, that should send a signal out to all of us. You never say what you wouldn't do, and when you sell yourself to something, you'll do anything. You sell yourself to some drug or something, you will do anything for that thing that you sold yourself to. You don't care about yourself, so how can you love somebody else? You know, and she can't even love her own child. So, I mean, my heart goes out to that for that little girl. I mean, she's gone now. I mean, she's happy right now. But, you know, looking back in her situation, it's horrible what that mother did to her. Absolutely horrible and horrifying. I can't even imagine.
But I think the bigger picture here, and I think we need to focus on the fact that, you know, we have young girls who are runaways. Yeah, and when they run away, you know, a lot of times a pimp will find them and then put them to work. And so I guess the thing is that what can we do, Mr. Elias? I mean, I understand that there are situations where people are, you know, you can't be Superman. You can't be everywhere and be everything to everybody. I truly understand that. But what can we do to prevent these types of things from going on? What can we do?
Tougher laws, Jay. I was reading a story here that happened here where a pimp in Hammond, Indiana, took girls and took young girls and would beat them, mm-hmm. and would take them by their house and threaten and pull out a gun and threaten to shoot and sit there and watch their parents come out of the house and threaten to kill these people as their parents come out the house. Now they would tell them, say, if you don't do what I want to, your parents are going to end up dead. And I mean, the parents didn't know where the kids were. They were worried about the kids. But when it all came out and was done, man, they sent this guy to life in prison without the possibility of parole. I mean, if our laws got tougher and we could catch people, it would help. It would help tremendously.
Yeah, I'm reading a comment in the chat room, and let me get who's saying this because I want to make sure I give the proper recognition. Verna, I hope I'm saying it correctly, said the big issue is drug abuse in this country. So when you talk about, sex slavery, you know, if we're focusing on this particular case, this was a mother who sold her kid, obviously because she wanted crack. And so, once again, even though you may be, and I've never been on crack either, so I can't tell you the mindset or the mentality of a person who's on crack, but it just seems to me that you should know better. If you're coming up with a scheme on how to get money or how to get crack, that means that something's working up there. And so how can that brain function not, calculate or compute the fact that you are selling your young daughter, a five-year-old, into sex slavery to get a hit? Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know.
You know, Jay, allow me to say something here. I think that, first of all, none of us know at what time that she did it. She could have been high on crack at the time she made the sale.
That is true.
She's not at herself in the first place. So, you know, we're all individuals that are productive citizens here.
Mm-hmm.
She was not. So
right.
She probably was high on crack. I mean, why does a crackhead make out in the middle of the street in broad daylight against the fence? I've seen that before. I mean, come on. I mean, because you're high on crack.
Yeah.
So yeah. as the young lady said, it's the drug abuse too.
Absolutely. Let's welcome Jay Early into the conversation. Good evening or good afternoon where you are, Jay. How are you?
There you go. Good morning to you.
Welcome into the serious side. What say you in regards to this topic?
You know, we're back to that same situation where we talk about two things. One, legalizing drugs. Two, legalizing prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
The government is looking for tax money. Can you imagine the tax money they would make off of legalized prostitution?
That's true. And I think it is legal in Las Vegas, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Nevada is legal.
Okay,
it is legal in Nevada. Okay, well, you know, I'm over here in Germany. Of course, it's legal, and you actually have houses which are privately owned by individuals, okay? Mm-hmm. And they pay taxes. All the ladies pay taxes. They have their regular checkups, the whole bit, you know. And the government makes plenty of money from
that.
Sure. Why can't we do that in the United States of America? And we would cut out some of this crime that we're, advocating by not doing it. I mean, look what happened after legalized alcohol. You cut the crime down.
Mm. Well, and so I guess the thing is, I understand where you're going, but I think what we're talking about is more of, and I guess what you're saying in so many words, Jerry, and make sure you correct me if I'm wrong, that you're saying that if you take away the fact that this is an illegal profession, then maybe you won't see some of the things that you're seeing in that trade. Is that what you're saying?
Right, because you're going to kill the pimps.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Ms. Elias.
I disagree because most of your sex trafficking is happening to the younger girls that are underage.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you don't think it's going to kill the need for the trafficking if you have more adult ladies that are in the business professionally and offering their services of all different flavors?
Because some of the men's appetite are for young girls or young boys. They're not for the older women. They're going after the young. That's what their appetites are for. That's what they want is the young girls, the young boys. I mean, these are sick people we're talking about that are doing this sex trafficking.
Well, see, then you're talking about you're going to have to take and strengthen the laws, okay, because then you're talking about increasing the jail time or something to deteriorate or made people not want to do the crime. Okay.
Right.
I can see no other way of stopping it. Yes.
And I understand what you're saying, though, Ms. Shirley, that I understand what you're saying, that if you just you put it out there, and there may be even more older women that are involved that are overseeing the industry, it becomes an industry, and
right.
somehow that it becomes not so exciting. It's almost like doing that illegal thing is like it's exciting to you. But then when it's legal, it kind of takes some of the excitement away. But I also understand what you're saying, Mr. Elias, which I believe is a different subject. And the subject that we're talking about today, we're referring to the younger girls that are in this situation. And I don't care if you legalize anything, they'll still be doing it.
Right.
They'll still, it may be minimized, but they'll still do it.
Yeah, yeah, you may be right about that. 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Serious Side of the TGRS, 347-850-1272. We welcome your phone calls and comments. And I guess, and I'm with you, Doctor, I think that when we're talking about sex slavery, you know, like, for example, now, listen, it's bad in this country, but overseas, it's ridiculous. I mean, over 300,000 young women and girls and boys in Asia are in the sex slave trade. And I guess my thing is that how can this go on? This is a deep, seedy, underground world, and that there are American men who are participating in this. Mr. Elias, I remember seeing something on Dateline where they were catching these doctors and lawyers from the United States. They fly down to these foreign countries, and they'll be sleeping with, you know, 11, 10, 12-year-old girls, and they have daughters that age at home. How can you even, my God, how can you even remotely stoop yourself? I mean, listen, you're a pedophile as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Jay, when I was in Taiwan, they had specific places where you could go and, for a better lack of words, rent the girl for a week and bring her back. I mean, and these were the mothers that were renting these girls out. It sickened me, man. I mean, it was horrible. I couldn't believe they were doing it, and it was like, why? How could you do this to your own child? You know, I was talking to a guy over there about it, and he said, well, this is the only way to talk to some of them to get money. And it's sick. It's sick.
It is. A sad situation. 347-850-1272. Let's welcome Eric into the Serious Side. Good morning, Eric. What's your name? I know your name. What's your comment?
I'm just calling in to say that I agree with the one guy who's saying that if we legalize these things that we're basically using legalized morality on, the problem will go away. We're not going to have the crimes that we used to have.
Okay, so you're saying if we legalize prostitution, then some of the, and I think I understand where you're going with that, and I think I understand what Jay Early is saying as well, but I guess my thing is that if we're talking about kids in the sex trade, don't you think that will actually give cover for them to be able to do this under the guidelines of the law? No?
Not really. I mean, how could you get away with doing something that's still going to be a crime? We're not talking about legalizing child prostitution. We're talking about consenting adults. We already have that problem with alcohol. You know, we do our best to try to keep it out of the hands of the kids. But, you know,
right.
It's going to happen. But as far as the prostitution side goes, that's a totally different thing.
I agree with that.
So over time, it'll go away. You're going to find the bad people. You're going to be able to put them away. But the majority of them, it'll help out, I would believe.
Okay, well, thanks for your comment, Eric, this morning. Okay, and I understand what Eric is saying, but we all know, Mr. Elias, that there are kids out there who, you know, young girls who look like, you know, they're 18 and 19 years old, and they're 14. I mean, so,
yes.
You know, that's where I'm going with it. It's like, okay, you say, let's legalize this, and I guess I can understand the pros and cons, but what I'm talking about, those who fall down in the cracks, and I guess what Eric is saying, listen, that's going to happen. I mean, you know, you have kids who are drinking alcohol, and you know it's illegal to sell, you know, alcohol to kids. But listen, you and I, we were drinking alcohol at, what, 17? Because we looked like we were 21.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. As I mentioned earlier, but, you know, that's against the law, too. I mean, I understand one law is, I mean, it's, and now you're still breaking the law. But my having a beer as compared to somebody having sex with a 5-year-old kid in my mind, does not compare. You are a sick individual to want to have sex with a young boy or a young girl. You are sick, and there's something wrong with your mind.
Yeah.
There is. You something's wrong, and you, it gets up under my skin, man. I can't understand how you can do this to a child. A child who knows no better. You take away their innocence and take away their youth. Oh, my God. It gets up under my skin, man.
Yeah, it was very difficult for me to prepare for the segment because, you know, obviously when you prepare for things like this, Dr. O'Dea, you have to start looking into some of the numbers. You have to start looking into particular cases. And when you do these things, you know, your skin boils when you think about there are people out here in this world that will do these types of things to kids and to young girls.
Yeah, I understand Mr. Elias, and just I feel the same way. I had an employee once who was from another country. She's from India. And, you know, they marry, they're young, pick their husbands at a young age. And I think she said she was 14 years old. Now, she was 14. I mean, the case at hand, a young girl was 5 years old. This young girl was 14 years old, and to this day, she was still trying to wrap her mind around just the idea that she was to be, no, I'm sorry, she was 12. The idea that she would be sold, she would be given to this man as his wife at that young age, and she fought her little self. She ran away, she fought, she had a parent, one of her parents were here in America, and anyways, America jumped in on her behalf, and they saved her. But she talked about just the trauma from the idea of being with an older man, and it was legal. So it's almost like, you know, here we say it's not good, it's bad, and then you have in other countries where kids are being given away as a supposed to be a good thing, to be taken care of or whatever, at 12, 14, 12 years, starting at 12 years old. This 5-year-old girl, in things of this matter, that's rape. It's horrendous, and obviously for someone to do that, they're mentally ill. They're sick.
Jay Early, you're still alive. What say you?
Well, I'm sitting here looking. Well, let me say two things. First, you talked about Asia. Okay, when you talk about Asia, and something we have to all keep in mind, that we're dealing with poverty, high rates of poverty also. Okay, this is why. Now, of course, being stationed in Vietnam, we took our R&R in Manila.
Okay.
But now, I think it was Mr. Elias was mentioning about men being able to pick women for a week. But now we were able to pick women, not little girls and boys. You know, those I call pedophiles. But now I'm looking on a chart, on a page I found, because thank God for Google, and I'm seeing in countries like Japan, they're talking about the legal age of sex being 14. Okay, so in various countries, it differs. I even see Brazil, the age of 14. Some other countries, 13. So there's a culture thing that's mixed in there also as far as the legal age for sex is concerned. So it's going to depend on what part of the world you're in. So are we looking at it, if we're looking at maybe from the American view, okay, it's illegal. But in another part of the world, it's not illegal.
Well, let's talk about the particular topic that led us into this that led us into this segment. Okay, I don't care where you are, a 5-year-old is a 5-year-old, and
of course.
That's ridiculous. You know, I mean,
that's
totally ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. And you did mention that, but I guess the bigger question, and I guess I understand, you know, Mr. Elias, I tell you what, it's the same argument when people talk about legalizing marijuana. You know, if you do these types of things, maybe you have more control over the situation, and you know, if it's governed a little bit better, then maybe it won't be a bad thing to legalize prostitution as a whole. What do you think about that concept?
I got to agree, because if you look at Amsterdam, prostitution and drugs are legal, and they don't have the crime that we have in the United States.
Yeah, I read something that Verna put in the chat room. It says, you know what, the U.S., United States of America, we're putting a lot of people in. And I was going to actually read that during the final thoughts, but he talked about the fact that even though our jails are the most populated jails throughout the world, but yet still we still have the highest crime rate crimes in this country. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's all for naught. Maybe if you do legalize prostitution and drug use, maybe this will be a better place, Dr. Adia.
You know what? I have to say this. I just talked about it the other day on the show. When you ignore something, mm-hmm. it has the ability to control you. So
okay.
when you look something in the face, and if we look the situation in the face and say, okay, this is what they're doing.
Okay.
Let's make it legal. And when you do that, there will be more advocates that will stand up, more people that are in the industry of prostitution or whatever as a business. They will begin to speak out more, and they will not be so hidden, but it will become a voice. And it may be some truth to that because you're looking at it in the face. When you ignore it, it has the power to take over you, and that's what it's doing over a lot of people.
Now, from a religious standpoint, you know, this is a country that we talk about in God We Trust. You see this you see that statement on all our currency. And so from a moral standpoint, how does that make the United States of America look if we're saying, look, okay, in God We Trust and we believe this, that, and the other, but then again, we're going to legalize prostitution, which means fornication, which means adultery, which means all the above. I mean, come on, Mr. Elias. I mean, isn't that talking out of both sides of our mouths?
I mean, is it? Because basically, most people, I mean, maybe one person that doesn't enjoy sex.
Yeah, but we're talking about, well, I'm saying that, well, if we're talking about government control, and that's what we're saying if you legalize something, that means that we have to put laws in place, we have to have some type of regulatory guidance with it, and so once again, and listen, I'm not saying that I believe in this, I just think, you know, like we always say here on the show, that all sides, they have a seat at they have a seat or a place at the table, and so what I'm doing is playing the devil's advocate here. If you sit here and say, in God we trust, and, you know, in the morals of this land, this, that, and the other, then you're going to legalize prostitution. What is that? What type of message does that send to people?
Okay, morality. Let's talk about morality, man.
Okay.
When you say that, and how many preachers that are out here that are having sex, outside sex with other people? I mean, the moral issue goes out the window when you talk about this, as far as, because there are no perfect people in the world. I mean,
yeah, but
Ted Haggerty, the head of the I can't think of the name of it right now, got caught with drugs and having sex with young guys. I mean,
yeah.
And he was dealing with presidents. He had that much power over the evangelicals. He had he had the president's ears bent, and he could talk to it at any point in time when he wanted to. But yet,
so make sure you're specific
George
which president.
Bush.
Okay,
he
let's not
George
say the
Bush
president. Okay.
When he wanted to talk to him, all he had to do was pick up the phone and call this guy. And he was one of the biggest friggin' preachers in the nation.
But
you know,
we're talking
about millions of followers. So
but preachers don't govern. And so I understand what you're saying. You know, hey, listen, he who's guilty cast the first stone. I understand that. If you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks. I understand all that. But what I'm saying is that if you're saying that the government should legalize prostitution, and then, you know, when we talk about, you know, the moral of this country and the things that we stand for, I mean, what type of message does that send to our youth if we're saying, hey, look here, go ahead and sell your body for money?
Your body?
All right. What say you, Dr. Odia?
I say, okay, we say in God we trust. And
okay.
Then there's another question there, okay, behind that. Because like Ms. Elias said, they're having sex. People are doing it anyways. But one thing I want you to pay note to also, go back to what I believe it was Mr. Early, what he said that's taking place in Germany. He did mention, he said they have the houses, and they have to get their checkups. Now, he's a man speaking of this. I believe that, you know, what he's saying is that comes with it. Like, it becomes legalized, so there becomes some guidelines. Right now, they're just out there. They have no guidelines, and maybe few and far between, you'll find, you know, someone maybe taking a bunch of girls and trying to help them out with, here, protect yourself. Because people are going to do it. They're doing it anyway. So regardless if we... I mean, if we want to deal with or want to be a prostitute or not, you know what I'm saying? That's not the question. The question is, how can we really cause for there to be some positive and effective change, and that is an option. I mean, it just seems to be, it might be a good option,
mm-hmm.
honestly. And in God's trust, I don't know.
347-850-1272 is the phone number. It's the serious side. It's the top of the hour, so if you have to be there by then, you're late. If you have to be somewhere by the top of the next hour, then you have an hour left. We're talking about the sex trade, and we're talking about young girls and young boys actually being involved in the sex trade. And the conversation has somewhat turned to the legalization of prostitution. Jay Early, you first brought this to the table, talking about, well, if we legalize prostitution, then maybe we could control these types of situations, and so then I pose the question, well, if we're talking about legalizing prostitution, then, you know, how can we say some of the things that we say from a moral standpoint, but we are involved with this. But I'm reading some very interesting conversations. I'm seeing some very interesting conversations and points in the chat room that make sense. You know, I saw one that said, listen, we sell our bodies every day. And then we talked about slavery. This country was involved with slavery, and, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, that's a very dark, dark history of this nation's history. So I guess I do agree, and I understand what people are saying. But I guess from my perspective, that would I be in favor of legalizing prostitution? I'm not sure, because, then, you know, as a father, would I want my daughter to grow up and say, look, I want to be a prostitute when I grow up. Look, I want to sell my body for money. I think I would have a very hard problem with that. And so that's maybe the reason why I would be against something of that nature.
May I speak on that one?
Absolutely.
That would be her choice of occupation.
I understand.
Just example, let's say she wanted to be a race car driver or I'm trying to think of some dangerous sport that's out there, and one won't come to me that quick. You know, it's a choice. You know, our children will grow up to be what they want to be anyway. Okay.
True.
One of the problems America, as we know, is this word called morale.
Okay.
It's like we're the holiest of holiest, and
right.
yet we have more dirt than any other country.
Okay.
To give a good example of that, I'm just going to mention it, and we'll change. Go back to your subject. That war that Mr. Bush got away with, and he's not going before a war crimes tribute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's get back to your subject. But you understand what I'm saying? One side, we have so high morales, and on the other side, when we're talking about legalizing something that could bring more money into the tax situation, possibly help cut the taxes of normal people because we've got another tax income flow, then we won't even take a look at it and put it on the table for debate.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, absolutely. 347-850-1272 is our phone number. It's the serious side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the BTR Radio Network. And on the TGRS Radio Network, we have a phone call. Let's get out to the lines. I think this is another call from D.C. Let's welcome D.C. back into the program. Good morning. What's your name and what's your comment?
Hi, this is Janice again from Washington, D.C., actually in North Carolina.
Okay, Washington,
with
by way Washington, of North
D.C. phone. I want to make one suggestion, okay?
Okay.
The person down in Fayetteville, absolutely horrendous, terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not define government according to their actions. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Janice from D.C.
Okay.
by way of North Carolina. So I guess for the wrap up here, let's think about this for a second. So now my thing is this, okay, how do we, you know, because listen, I believe, and I truly believe this, and I may be wrong, and you guys can correct me on this. I think that as everyday Americans and as everyday citizens of the world, you know, I believe that the telltale signs are out there. Okay, and if we get involved with things, maybe we can stop some of the things that are going on. So let me ask the question. Let me put it out there on the table. What can we do as everyday Americans, as everyday citizens of the world, to prevent things like this from happening?
Pray. We can pray, and you know what we can stop doing? We can stop taking away the freedoms of the people. I would like to say that because we say we're free, we say we're a country that's free, but is it that for the restriction of one's freedom, we have the increase of crimes and rape, you know, prostitution and drugs? you know, like Mr. Early says. So if we say that we're free, then let the people be free. You're going to do what you're going to do anyways, regardless of it being a law or not. You're going to do what you're going to do. If you drink, you drink. Just because it's legal doesn't mean that everybody's going to drink now. No, whoever's going to do it, they're going to do it. Whoever's going to smoke, they're going to do it. And that's my point.
Okay. So once again, I'll ask the question again. What can we do to prevent this from happening? Because, listen, we talked about this earlier in the segment. You know, there are runaways out there on the streets. You know, and these young girls are forced into prostitution because they need a home. They need someone, okay, that they need to feel wanted. And then, you know, listen, I don't know. I mean, listen, I know kids who ran away from home. And, you know, trust me, they had the most loving homes, but they were just kids that just didn't get it. And so we can't sit here and say that, okay, it's the parents' fault why runaways are in the streets and they end up in the sex trade. We can't say that because that's not the situation. That's not the case in all situations. But, Ms. Delius, what can we do as just everyday people, citizens of the world, once again, to prevent things like this? What are the telltale signs? What can we do to maybe step in and intervene, I should say?
Quit turning a blind eye to things, man. I mean, if we see an underage prostitute out there, why are we scared to talk to them and find out what's really going on with them? Why not mention to them, try and pull them out of this lifestyle that they're in?
No, that's a good point. That's an excellent point. And, you know, I tried that once. And, you know, the thing is that when I approached the young lady to talk to her, she said, listen, you may be a part of this thing. You may want to walk away. And I'm like, wow, let me continue to walk. But I guess my thing was is that, you know what, maybe you go out and try to talk to these young girls, Jay Early. Maybe you – now, you're in a country, and I lived there for 6 years. It's completely legal. You have what they call the red light district, where these people are taxed. These people are, you know, given monthly checkups, medical checkups, to make sure that they're not passing around any diseases. So I don't know. Maybe you have a different perspective about this particular topic.
You know, it's very hard. The doctor was saying something about freedom earlier. You know, mm-hmm. the more, yeah, because as you know, government system is always a little bit more tight, meaning that a cop is still respected. But it does seem like, I'm watching it for the last 40 years, the more freedom in America that you have, the more crimes that are committed.
Interesting.
The pedophiles being the worst of the bunch. I don't know anything sicker than that. Okay? And obviously you have laws that are protecting them because they don't spend their life in jail.
And it's true. I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I agree
right.
with that wholeheartedly. So I agree with what you're
saying.
But
legalized prostitution in Europe does work.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I stayed there for 6 years. I know it works. And I see where you're going with it. I think that if we did legalize this, maybe this will control the situation. Then going back to a statement that Eric made earlier in the conversation, but you know, you're going to have those who fall through the cracks, and I guess what we're saying, Dr. O'D, we're just going to have to learn to live with that, and with every law, there will be people who will find ways to break the law. I'll give you the last word on the topic.
Okay, I said I will say this, as it relates to the five-year-old and the pedophile situation, we will have to toughen the laws. I think that's the only way to do it. The penalty for doing such and being caught in such a case, I mean, maybe there's a death penalty. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but something has to give. Just putting people in jail apparently isn't enough. Apparently that's not enough. I mean, you know, the death penalty works over there in Canada. I don't know, and they don't seem to have much crime going on. I mean, but on certain cases such as this, something like this, I think maybe something like that should be considered. And that's my thought.
All right. That's it, folks. Two down, one more to go. Coming up next, will the progressive left cost President Obama the election in 2012? Keep it right here. It's the serious side of the TGRS. It's 8 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back after this word. Jay Early, you stay fit. You stay put. We'll talk to you after the break.
All right.
My best friend's sister, she had a lot of friends. Just not enough time. So she got really good at texting while driving. I mean, she was amazing. But ever since the accident, everything has changed. She still has a lot of friends, but now she has no time. Texting while driving it's dumb, and it's deadly.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tom Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South, Mom Little Donna.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Let it go.
the Churchill quotation, as opposed to the quotation from that very senior member of your administration, Mr. President, is from October 5th of 1938. I don't want to make any true comparison to the historical event to which it related. The viewer can go ahead and look it up if they wish. I will confess I won't fight if anybody wants to draw a comparison between what you've done with our domestic policies of our day to what Neville Chamberlain did with the international politics of his.
Good morning, 14 minutes after the hour. You're in tune to the serious side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the BTR Radio Network. And that was a very heated Keith Overman after the president conceded and accepted the tax policy that will give the top 2% Americans a tax break. And Mr. Elias, I tell you what, the question is a very simple one. Will the progressive left cost President Obama the election in 2012?
You know something, I listened to Chris Matthews, and after listening to Chris Matthews, and you know I don't know if this is a strategy on his behalf to try and say, hey, look, independent voters, this is what I'm offering, and knowing that his party will reject this so that he doesn't come out looking like he's just accepting anything. I don't know.
So you really truly think that this is gamesmanship on the president, that he accepted this tax deal, even though a lot of economists are looking at this thing and saying, okay, wait a minute now, the devil are in the details. Now, you have to really dig into this to see that this is probably the best deal that the Democrats and the president they were going to get. Keep in mind now, the Democrats have had a supermajority for the past 2 years, and so people are saying, wait a minute, you guys are bitching and complaining about this tax law. Why didn't you guys bring this to the floor for a vote earlier? And so if you ask that question, Mr. Elias, why didn't they bring it to the floor earlier?
Because you
to vote on it.
But when you had blue dog Democrats.
Right.
That's probably why, because they knew that it wouldn't pass, you know, because this is what's going on with it. But I don't doubt that this is the strategy on his behalf. To maybe try it and say, hey, because right now the independents like what he did, and that puts them right back where they belong. Now, it might have his party going against him right now, but trust me, those 2 million people that are going to get the relief from this, they're not upset with him at all.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. Now, Dr. Odilia, you know, he's right. I mean, if you think about this, you know, a lot of the Democrats were saying, listen, the Republicans are holding, you know, unemployed Americans hostage. You know, in order for them to vote for this, they said in order for them to vote for this particular tax cut for the top 2%, we will not vote on unemployment taxes, unemployment benefits, because unemployment benefits, they're unpaid for. We have to find a way to pay for $17 billion worth of unemployment benefits. But wait a minute. On the other hand, we have no problems with giving the top 2% tax cut, which equates to $700 billion, and there's no way it's going to be paid for. Now, isn't that hypocritical or what?
It's very hypocritical. As we talked about that last week, it is extremely hypocritical. I also agree with Mr. Elias. I really, you know, I believe that President Barack Obama is a genius strategy. He's a strategist. And he's playing the game. I believe that there is something else that will come down the line. In any game, there has to be some giveaway, some give, a little bit. And what that does is throws the other party off. Would you like to say that he's playing with the American people as he's out there playing the chess game? I think that he is setting up and he's doing what he needs to do to have leeway later. That's what I believe. There's something else coming down the pipe. I can't believe that he just did this old willy-nilly. He's not that type of guy.
Well, now, Jay Early, I know you're in Europe, but I'm pretty sure you have a comment on this. My thing is this. Once again, I know there are people that are on the hard left that are not happy because, first of all, let's talk about health care. You know, the public option wasn't available, but people were really upset behind that. And so now we're talking about this tax cut for the wealthiest Americans in this country. So when you think about this now, you know, and like Princess Audie just said, I mean, there has to be some give and take. I mean, you have to compromise to get things done. Don't you agree?
I agree 100%. I'm a chess player, and I'm willing to bet Obama's got a chessboard somewhere in the White House. And he is not dumb, as we all know, and he has another 4 years to win at the same time. So he will get something back out of this deal because he's just given. Now it's time to receive.
Well, coming up a little later, we're going to have an interview with Marty Torres. He's the founder and CEO of the Worldwide Network. That's coming up next after the break. But listen, Mr. Elias, let me say this to you. You know, and it goes back to people. I hear this argument all the time that he's giving away the bank. He's, you know, he's working with Republicans. And I think, and you mentioned this when I asked you this question earlier, and I think the people who are really truly to blame here, if you are a liberal and you believe in the liberal side of politics, the people really here to blame are the Blue Dog Democrats. They can vote with the Republicans, and they can, you know, and they're not going to be blamed. People are not going to call them out. So it's like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're going to vote with the Republicans, but then when it's convenient to be a Democrat, we're going to be a Democrat, which didn't work for them, by the way, the midterm elections, because most of those guys were voted out of office.
Thank God it didn't. I mean, if you're going to vote against your party, you should vote against it. I mean, and be who you are. If you're on the side of a Republican, don't run Democrat to say so I can just win because that's who I am. Man, I mean, honestly, I never understood a Blue Dog Democrat. You know, there's no such thing as a liberal Republican.
Well, there are two that people usually, Olympia Snow and Collins, Susan Collins. But listen, let's go back to the comments you made about voting with your party, representing your people. Now, keep in mind now, these people, they have to represent their constituents, and most of these people who lost were Democratic senators of districts that McCain won in 2008. So we can say that they're blue dogs, but weren't they really doing what they were voted in office to do, represent their constituents and vote for the will of their people that they represent in their particular districts and states?
Are they voting for their constituencies, or are they voting to get back in office? That's what I believe.
Same thing, right?
Well, no, because some people just vote to get back. They don't vote what's in their heart. They're voting what will get them back in office. I believe if most people had a heart and would say, I look at the tax deal that they gave for the senior citizens on Social Security. It's a one-time tax break of $250,000. Then they say, well, how are we going to fund this thing? Well, how the hell did you fund a thing for the top 3% of the wealthiest Americans in the world? How do you even have a conscience to say something this damn stupid?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it gets up under my skin when you can sit there and say something that stupid about it. Well, it's going to cost $14 billion. How are we going to fund this? And it's going to cost $130 billion to fund this thing for the wealthiest people in the world. It makes no sense.
Well, here's the deal, and I think this is what we need to understand. You know, we talk about, the Dems being wimps, and we talk about the fact that the Dems didn't do anything with their supermajority. Keep in mind, it has to be a supermajority, okay? And this is what this proves my point. When we talk about that the Democrats had control of the House, they had control of all three branches of government. But when you really think about it, you know, once again, they didn't have control of the Senate. When you say control, it has to be a super, in order for you to forego the filibuster, you have to have a 60-vote majority, and you would never get that because, once again, of the Blue Dog Democrats. So we say that Democrats were the ones that were wimping out and things of that nature, but I do agree with some of the comments in the chat room saying that, look, you guys were in power. You know, you had to figure out a way to make that happen. And the reason why, Jay Early, they didn't bring this to the vote, and we're talking about the tax deal, is because of the fact that they never had the votes. They can never get the supermajority to prevent the Republican filibuster.
I agree 100%. You know, I'm not a person that talks about politics so much because we all know there's a lot of, crookedness in politics. And we all knew when Obama got in there, President Obama got in there, that he could not, in a 8-year period, change around everything because he's going to have too many people against him, to include those in his own party. And that's why he has not gotten done what he really wanted to get done in the last 2 years, is because the number of his own people on the Democratic side of the table wouldn't even go his way. Go back and look at the results of the medical bill. That private option should have been in there. His own people wouldn't go for it. And somebody mentioned Ed Schultz. No, I'm not even going to go there. I'll pass the mic.
No, go ahead. Go there. Go there, because that show has been an advocate. He's been an advocate for the president, but I tell you what, he is upset. Keith Olbermann, they are livid. And people from the White House actually called these guys because they knew that they wouldn't accept this. But I tell you what, you know, President Obama did the right thing. He brought in an old tricky bill. Bill Clinton stood up there, and he was president for 30 minutes, and he really, you know, he had a press conference here, I think it was Friday, and he talked about, listen, this was the best possible deal that the Democrats, if you think that you can negotiate with these people and you have the supermajority, what do you think is going to happen in January when the Republicans control the House and the speakership? Come on, folks. I think we need to look at this thing and say, really, was this the best deal, or did the president sell out?
No.
It was the best. My opinion, it was the best deal he could get, just like with the medical thing. Because, you know, if he didn't take the concessions, he wouldn't have got anything. And you still have 40-some million people out there without health coverage.
You know what, I tell you what, and I love the way you said it, because this is one of the things, this is what I always say in business when I'm talking to the people that work for me under sales. I says, listen, I'd rather have 80% of something than 100% of nothing, Mr. Elias. And so the bottom line is that, listen, you may have to give a little, and we may not get all the things that we want, but the bottom line is the American voters voted the Republicans back in power in November. And when you sit back and really think about this, the Republicans have been dressed right dress. Their message from day one has been, look, we're not going with anything that you're going to do. Nothing. And we're going to stick to our guns. You know, there were times where people thought that the Republicans were going to be a party in exile. But they weathered the storm. And so now, because of the, quote, watch the segue here, the ignorant voter, per se, wanting things to change overnight, then they find themselves back in the driver's seat.
Okay, but Jay, on that note, man, wow, I think what Keith Olbermann and the other guys are saying is that, hey, put it back in the Republicans' lap. Let them know, hey, I'm willing to deal, but this is not what I'm willing to do. So here it is in your lap. So if you want to hurt the American people, you do it. I'm not going to do it.
And
I think that's what they're trying to say, Jay. That's just
And that's what the president said during his press conference. He said, listen, we're playing. Look, he got a little upset. He says, look, and this is the most animated I'd ever seen President Obama in public. He says, look, we're playing with American lives here. Okay, you can sit here and play this game. I'm going to hold out till I get the best deal. What happens to the families who are hurting while we're playing the game of chicken? And he was like, look, I can't afford to do that. And I think there was some naiveness to the president, because campaigning and governing are two different things. And so, and I think he realized, wait a minute, this is harder than I thought it would be. And so, you know, Princess Audilia, can we blame the president for saying, look, I can't play chicken when it comes to the well-being of the American people. Even though they may not like what I'm doing, listen, I have to do what's in the best interest of the American people.
I do not believe that he was wrong at all. I believe that it was the best deal for him. And I also believe that we must not negate. He has to give to get. And it's going to come when he's going to come back and get. So he's doing what he has to do. Not only is he saying, look, I'm not going to play the game. He is being very consistent with his position as I am helping the people. As he said in one of his earlier not press conferences, but he had a presentation, he talked about the situation of the Republicans versus Democrat and us being a separate House rather than being together in the House trying to help the people. He is very clear and strategic in his position and his move. I think that we need to sit back and watch what happens in the future, because there is something else. And he's going to get more votes because he did lean towards their side. Trust me, it threw them off too. They were surprised, okay? So, again, they got hit again right in the gut. So he's playing the game very well, and he's doing it not to harm the people, which is absolutely awesome.
Jay, you said something earlier that makes a lot of sense, okay? You used the terminology ignorant voter, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of people never, and let's just take it to a normal job situation. I don't care if it's a person working for Walmart and they're trying to get a pay raise. Okay. They're not trying to look at it from the president's side of the company side. They're trying to look at it from their wallet size. Okay, so they're not looking at all the options on the table. They only see it one-sided. And the president has to look at it for 250 million people and make the right decisions. Okay, I would tell him this. You try being president for a day. I don't care if it's of a company or the White House. And let's see what decisions you make. And sit back and let people talk about you. And let's see how you sleep at night with the decisions you make. And then you come talk about my job.
You're right. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the serious side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS radio network and on BTR as well. We're talking about, will the progressive left cost the president the presidency in 2012? And here's the thing. You know, listen, I try to keep things simple. You know, we're not political pundits. We're just ordinary people having a conversation on Sunday morning. And this is what I always try to say to people, Mr. Elias. And this is the scenario. This is how I break it down. Let's say that you had to save a bus full of people. Now, two people on that bus were pedophiles. They're the scum of the earth. They're inmates. They're whatever. But then the other eight people on that bus were kids, innocent people, and they didn't do anything wrong. Would you not save the bus because of the two worst folks on the bus versus trying to do what's good for the majority? And the reason why I pose the question that way, because a lot of people are hung up on the fact that the top 2% are receiving these tax cuts. Now, don't get me wrong. My position is I don't believe they deserve them. You know, they interviewed some very wealthy people in America last week, and these guys said, look, that's not, you know, listen, okay, and that's not going to create more jobs by giving us a tax cut, but hey, thank you. So that's the way I pose the question to you. I mean, listen, you know, do you say, okay, I'll go with this because I'm looking at the bigger picture. Yeah, I may help these clowns out in the short term, but I have to think about the people who are really going to be helped out by, you know, taking this crucial vote.
I agree. Wholeheartedly, man. I mean, yeah, I would save the whole bus in that instance, Jay. And I agree what he's saying, but I'm looking in the chat room, and Covenia, man, is saying that, you know, I think most people said he didn't even put up a fight. And I think that's what they're mad about, is that he didn't put up a fight and he didn't say, well, come on, let's get away from the fight, let's do this, let's do that. And no, you can't have it. But you know something? Those 2 million people that are going to suffer, I can see his point, but I would have asked for a little bit more.
So we're talking political theater. We're talking political theater here because we don't know. I tell people all the time, one of my favorite movies is The American President. Now, yeah, you had the lobbyists falling in love with the president. That was for the Hollywood factor. You know, you have to have something in there to get people to go watch the movie. But I liked how it showed really the sausage making of politics. And there was a scene in there when they were talking about the president had to make a deal in order to get a bill passed. And let me tell you something, because I think the president's problem, Jerry, is that he's not very good at political theater. Because, you know, listen, we don't know what happened behind closed doors. I'm pretty sure the president was trying to do everything in his power to get his agenda passed, and they came back and says, listen, we're not going to do it. Now, it goes back to the situation that happened with BP. You know, if you polled Americans, you know, 45% of Americans said that the president and the White House did not react to this thing on day one, when all the facts are to the contrary, saying that's not true. So maybe he needs to learn how to play political politics or play political theater so the American people can feel better about their president or the person who's sitting in the White House.
The problem is, Jay, okay, you said something and the words were in the back of my mind, but I'm going to say this. People keep expecting Obama, okay, to have the word Superman in front of him. Mm-hmm. He is not Superman. If anybody would go back in history and ask, what did Bill Clinton do in his first year, first 12 months, mm-hmm. or first 24 months? Okay, well, we know what Bush did in his first 24 months. Okay, got us into a war we didn't need to be in. But you know, you're trying to make the man do something that it's humanly impossible to do. He came in with the deck stacked against him. In a war no one wanted, the economy is in the worst situation in history, and you're expecting him to perform a miracle. He is not Superman. He is the president of the United States, which means there's a lot of voting going on under him to get bills passed. It is not his signature that ends up on the bill that he really wanted, I believe, ever.
Yeah. you're going to have to do some compromise here. I think that's what Jay Early is saying, that you're going to have to be able to, you know, listen, it's a fact that this country is center-right. And, you know, listen, we can sit here and say what we want to say about black people coming out supporting the president and all this other good stuff, but, you know, independents put him in office. And independents are the reason why the Republicans are in control of the House of Representatives come January 20th. So we can say what we want, but, you know, once again, Mr. Elias, governing is a lot harder than campaigning.
Yes, that's true, Jay. That is 100% right. I mean, like they said on Chris Matthews, that with the way he voted, that swung a lot of independent votes his way, the way he performed with his deal. So I can see what he's doing on that instance, man. And I just want to respond to Covino, man. He says, just fight for what's right, the people understand. I don't think people will understand that they're not getting an unemployment check anymore when their kids are hungry, because he's fighting for, you know, the rich not to get a tax check. They're not going to understand that. Well, my child is hungry, and I have no place for my child to stay. I mean, we're in a position now where we can sit there and say, well, he should do this and he should do that. But we're not in a position to sit there and say, you know, my child is cold, my child is hungry, but the president is fighting for me. No, he's not going to say that. He's going to sit there and say, hey, look, you know, you need to make this deal, you need to make it happen, because I don't have anything to eat. I don't have any place to stay. I'm cold. I'm freezing. We can't play with people's lives.
35 minutes after the hour, it's the Serious Side of the TGRS. Happens every Sunday morning right here, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on BTR Radio. Coming up, we're going to have, before we go, Chatterbox, and we have an exclusive interview with the CEO and founder of the Worldwide One Network, Monty Torres. That's all coming up here in a few minutes. We're asking you now, if you would, go ahead and put your final thoughts in the chat room for Chatterbox. We love to read to people who are listening all over the world what our chatters think, and we think we have the best listeners on this side of the equator, if that makes sense. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. So Princess Audia, to kind of get back and to begin to slowly wind this segment down, you know, I think that my problem with the president is that, okay, first of all, my position is this, is that, you know, listen, the top 2% of Americans that are receiving a tax cut, you know, the Republicans claim that this is going to create jobs. And, you know, I'm a simple guy, and my thing is, listen, okay, you had it for 8 years. It didn't work 8 years ago or 2 years ago. What makes me think it's going to work now? If that formula was a formula of failure back then, why do you think it's going to work? So I can understand the progressive left being pissed off, upset, et cetera. But at the same time, I think people need to understand this. Once again, the president, you said it best, Jay Early, he's not Superman. This is not a dictatorship. You know, it goes both ways. He needs the House of Representatives and the Senate just like they need him. If he don't like what they're doing, he can veto the bill, and we can go back and forth all day, and nothing gets done.
Yeah,
you're right,
100%
right. You know, I didn't end my thing on the ignorant voter. You know, people are blaming him for the situation he's in. Go back to the election last month. That's what got him in the situation. Those ignorant voters not coming out to vote for the Democratic Party put him in this situation. So don't blame him. Blame them for not moving from their front room couch to go cast a vote. They needed a vote to keep the Democrats in power.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. Princess Adia, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I believe, I concur 100% that, first of all, President Obama, he is doing the best that he's doing, and this is not a theater, okay? And I just stick to my same point. By him making this move, he has also positioned himself for opportunity in the future to make other moves that will still bring about a great change and opportunity for the people. And that's where he stands. You're right. We don't have time to go back and forth. There are families out here hurting. He does not have time to go back and forth and play the game with the Republicans. He's not going to do it. He didn't do it this time. And we have to just sit and watch. It's a patient game. And I think it was you, Mr. Elias, that said, if he had continued to play the game and play the theater, in the end, they would not have been giving him kudos because he went to bat. They would have been saying, you see how he strung this along, you know, and it would have been a horrible situation for many families. So I have to just keep that. We have to understand that he is a strategist. He's a genius for the people, and we have to trust his guidance and his intuition in this scenario, and we have no other choice anyway.
All right. Well, folks, that's it, but it's not over yet. Coming up, before we go, a quick look at stories that made news. We're going to talk about Chatterbox, final thoughts from the chat room. But coming up next, our exclusive interview with the founder of the Worldwide Network, Monty Torres. Keep it right here, folks. We'll be right back.
Thirst quench and chill kind of average and oldie but goodie, but it could never be the average. Guzzle it, sip it, let it flow, you know the speech. We're gonna have a hell of a time with drinks like these.
Hi, I'm Jay from The Serious Side, and it's time for this month's Good Deed Spotlight, where we take a look at people who are making changes and doing positive things in their community. This month's spotlight, can you say Steve Urkel? Here's CNN's Erica Littman.
Some twisty ties in his hand, right?
Westside Middle School principal Bobby White had a problem to solve.
How do we stop the sagging of the pants?
So he put a twist on his no saggy pants policy.
Everyone who possibly needed to be Urkeled were Urkeled.
A staff member suggested fighting pop culture with pop culture.
I thought it was a joke, but until I got Urkeled.
Students wore saggy pants like they see in rap videos, so the school staff turned to Family Matters TV character Steve Urkel. His style of dress is now a verb at Westside Middle.
What's it like to get Urkel?
It's pretty embarrassing.
Staff members walk the halls with zip ties, and if they see saggy pants, students get Urkel.
We slide it over, take out the remaining slack, and it's almost impossible to get it off.
They can put your pants as high as a chest, and they can put as many as three or four on you.
It's green.
They even have an Urkel photo board for all to see.
Now the girls are laughing, and they'll tell you how ridiculous you look.
Everyone likes a competition.
Teacher Shaka Green is the reigning Urkel Award champ. He started Urkeling up to 80 students a week. In 5 weeks, it dropped to 18.
You're talking about over an 80% drop in the number of students that we actually have to put a zip tie on. There's something about looking right, acting right, beginning to think right.
If you keep your pants up, they have you looking like a proper young man.
Students know to strap up or get strapped up around here.
So kudos to you, Principal Bobby White, for making sure people don't have their pants on the ground and being this month's Good Deeds Spotlight winner. We'll be back.
Told me.
Therefore, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made the headlines this past week. And speaking of Urkel, Eddie Winslow, you remember him, Mr. Elias, right? The guy who played Eddie Winslow on Family Matters.
Yes.
Well, Darius McCrary, he has been ordered to stay at least 100 yards away from his ex-wife. She claims that this guy has choked her from behind, beat her with a belt during an argument in February. Wow. What a sad situation, big man.
Well, she's a little bit nuts anyway, man. So.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. You know who she is, right?
No, I don't. Who is she?
You ever heard of the porn star Superhead?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's his wife. So, yeah, she's a little bit nuts anyway.
Okay, all righty then. We'll just keep it moving. Jay Early. Now, I don't know if you're a big football fan or not, but the Vikings game against the Giants has been postponed because of snow. So what are you going to do for your football fix, big man?
Picks? Did you say football picks?
Football fix.
Fix. Well, you know me, man. I don't have a problem with that because I'm into basketball.
No, that's true. And I'll tell you what, and you're pretty sad right about now.
Me,
about Miami.
Remember?
We'll talk about that one on the Power Hour Sports Talk Radio. Okay. Dr. Odia, Elizabeth Edwards passed earlier this week, and she was laid to rest yesterday. What are your thoughts on Elizabeth Edwards?
Well, first, I would say that I think that she was an exemplary wife, political wife, and example. And get her book. She has a book out. I think it was Fallen by Grace. And she wrote about how it was being a wife of a politician. And she was so graceful. She was a graceful woman. And God bless her family, and we give condolences. But it's sad. It's sad that how she died.
Absolutely. All right, folks, it's time for Chatterbox. Final thoughts from the chat room, and I'll go first. We have one from Vernay, and I hope I'm saying that right, Vernay. It says, stiffer laws might work, but we incarcerate more people in the USA than anybody in the world, and we still have more crimes than anybody in the world. Mr. Elias, do you have one for us?
Yes, from Reverend Janice, man. She said,
okay.
The wealthy do not need a tax cut. The problem, middle-class Republicans believe that the lies of the trickle-down of economic theories.
Yeah. And I have one more from Kavania Manny. He says, the people that listen to Sean Hannity, to the Sean Hannitys of the world, want to be misinformed. They want someone to tell them what they want to hear. And so that's this week's Chatterbox. Coming up next, our interview with the CEO and founder of the Worldwide One Network, Monty Torres. Keep it right here.
Today, about 1 in 5 Americans is living with a disability. Over 50 million people, including many of our friends and neighbors, teachers and coworkers, heroes and leaders. 20 years ago, the Americans with Disabilities Act guaranteed every person the right to live, work, and participate fully in the American experience. We've come a long way since then, and we are committed to making even more progress in the years ahead. Visit disability.gov to see how you can help.
Why you look so sad?
They can't escape. Or call for help. Only you can save them. I'm James Cromwell. Please join with me and PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, to help put an end to animal abuse worldwide. For just $19 a month, you can immediately help save animals who are in danger right now. PETA has already stopped the suffering of countless individual animals. And no organization is more successful in exposing cruelty to animals than PETA. Call or go online now, and you'll receive a 1-year subscription to Animal Times magazine. Plus, you'll also receive this handy reusable shopping bag and an informative guide to animal-friendly products. Don't let them suffer another minute. Please call or go online now.
Good morning and welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is the phone number. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. 2 minutes before the hour, and the serious side as we wind down, we have an exclusive interview with the CEO and founder of the Worldwide One Network, Monty Torres. Monty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fantastic. How are you?
We're doing great this morning. Can't wait to hear about what you and your network is doing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and tell the people how they can be involved?
Okay, well, I am working with the Prez as a campaign that was organized by Will.i.am, Bill Duke, Mikhail Camille, and Jimmy John Lee. And they needed to have the new media side of the world involved in this campaign, because what it is that they're looking to amass 100 million tweets by 2012 in support of President Obama. And they came to Visions in Motion, so we created a network that would help all of the radio networks that want to get involved. So we created the World Wide One Network. So any radio network that wants to get involved in this campaign and support this presidency for the re-election for 2012 is invited to come over to the network and be a part of the World Wide One Network, which will be supporting Obama for the next 2 years, getting 100 million tweets for Obama. So that's pretty much what we're doing with that.
Let me ask you a question. So now, the reason why you decided to do this, I mean, what's the passion? I mean, why did you decide to be involved and create this network?
You know, it's funny because I was listening to the call earlier and, you know, people talking about the politics and what Obama didn't do and all this stuff, and it's really crazy. The reason why I got involved is because I remember what it felt like when I voted for Obama. I remember wanting him and hoping him to win, but I did not expect Obama to win the election in 2008. And when he did, it shocked me, and it gave me, like, the best feeling, a sense of hope and a sense of, wow, we really could make stuff happen. So I decided to get involved because I think that people have forgotten that he is a man that has changed history. I really don't care about the issues. I don't understand politics the way that some people do. I'm not really concerned with that. I'm concerned with the fact that this man, you know, he changed the world for me and for many people, and I think that he deserves a fair chance in getting his full term and then another 4 years. So that's why I'm doing it.
Absolutely. So now, what I want people to do now, anyone on the panel have any questions for Mahdi, because this is an open forum. Definitely want to make sure that folks get their questions out. And once again, it's the Worldwide One Network, and she's going to give us the information again on how to reach her. Ms. Elias, do you have any questions for Mahdi?
Not actually.
Okay. Jay Early, I know you have something to say. What say you?
Yeah, I believe what she's doing is a beautiful thing. And you, as usual, you always do, you caught me off guard. At the moment, no, I don't have a question for it at the moment.
Well, Mahdi, let's do this then. What about you, Princess? I want to make sure I extend that to you as well. Any questions for Mahdi?
I don't have any questions. I want to say good job. And how are you, Mahdi? It's been a long time.
Hi. Thank you. Yes, it has been. Been listening to the show, though. You guys are doing an awesome job.
Well,
thank you so much.
So now let me ask you this, because I definitely want to make sure people, let's go again. I want folks who are a part of the so we're looking for people who are BTR radio hosts, right, to participate in this process. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's make sure that they get the information. Go ahead.
I'm going to put in the link in the guest room, and the network that we're starting now is the I Am With You, Mr. Prez New Media Radio Network. And that is also going to consist of, you know, we're looking for people that are interested in being correspondents for that particular network. And being correspondents for that particular network means that you got to be like a CN. Yeah, you got to put your suit on. You got to be like the serious side of the J-Ryle show. And so we're looking for people that want to participate in that. But for people that don't really want to do anything different with their shows and just want to have their show be part of this campaign, then that's where they join the Worldwide One Network, which is going to be inside of IamWithYouMrPrez.ning.com, and I'm going to put that in the guest room also.
All right, and once again, now for those who all now, and keep in mind now, folks, this is something, now give us the date again, and definitely make sure you announce it, because we have so many people listening to the Sirius side and the archives. So once again, put the link out, and then tell us the date that we're looking for the 100 million tweets. I hope I got that number correct.
Yeah, it's 100 million tweets, and we're looking to have 100 million tweets by 2012, but January 2nd, there's going to be a march in front of the CNN building here in Los Angeles, and we want everybody to participate on that day, even if they're not there, and just show their support by tweeting, I am with you, Mr. Prez, on Twitter on January 2nd. We're actually going to be out there starting from 3 to 5, and Sheila E. is going to be starting the procession. Prince is going to be there. Flash from Guns N' Roses is going to be there. A lot of celebrity support on January 2nd. And there's going to be a lot of things to come with this campaign. We're going hard because I think that people have forgotten. And one of the things that we really want to point out is the fact that we're not going to debate the issues. We really are here to support Obama, the man, the human being. And, you know, it seems like he's being bullied a little bit. And we just want to make sure that he knows that we have his back.
Okay. So now, once again, now let me ask you this question. Now, the president, the White House, are they familiar with this? Do they know what's going on? Are they involved in this campaign?
At this point, right now, we're organizing everything. So right now, the people that are heavily involved are the celebrities. And, I mean, this is a very, very new campaign. It's just the foundation and everything is being built right now. But, yeah, people are, calls are being made. There's everybody's getting together and rallying up, you know, support. So you guys will see. You definitely will see this movement, and you will see how involved. We got to make the White House get involved. That's the whole purpose.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for coming on, telling people about it. And once again, you can check out Marty Torres and the That's My World Radio crew Monday through Friday right here on BTR Radio, 3 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Coming up, our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere. Small break. We'll be right back.
Hi, meteorologist Scott Lariemore. Watching two storm systems for the first weekend of 2011. This is the big one that's marching through the east with flash flooding in northern Alabama, even northern parts of Georgia, and very mild air out ahead of this system. This is the same storm that brought the terrible tornadic weather to Missouri, Arkansas, and even Mississippi here from the start of the weekend. Blizzard warnings behind the system on the cold side of it across the Dakotas and Minnesota. Very cold here in the heart of the country with teens and 20s. This is our second storm coming into the west coast here today, mainly south of San Francisco is where the heavier rain is setting up shop, but nothing like the weekend storm that we had a week ago out west. So unsettled weather in the west here for the weekend. It looks like the country's trying to turn a little more quiet, though, as we head into the work week. This front leaves the east coast. We'll see beautiful sunshine, but chilly weather across the Gulf Coast in the southeast. Some lighter snows in the wake of that big storm leaving the Great Lakes for Monday. And into Tuesday, not much precip across the country from coast to coast.
Well, folks, another Sunday, another great show, great listeners. I tell you what, excellent topics. We are enjoying the serious side. And, Mr. Elias, man, I had a good time this morning. How about you?
Man, I always have an excellent time, man. Every time we do the show, man, it's a blessing just to be here, man.
Absolutely, and I hope that we're doing something positive. Jay Early, man, I thank you for sitting in for GOG. He'd be proud of you, man.
I enjoyed it, but, you know, it's kind of hard to fill the GOG's shoes. You know that, right?
That's right. That's the man. Absolutely.
So I'll take second place gracefully. Thanks for the invite.
All right. And on that note, we're going to go with our final thoughts. Ladies first. Dr. Odelia, you're up first.
Well, I just want to say that remember this. In order for change, there is some pain to be gained. And it's all good. So sit back, hang tight, and let's see what happens as we continue to entrust and have faith in our president, President Barack Obama. And let's just keep our prayers high and our thoughts high. That's my thought for today. Great topic.
Thank you so much. Jay Early, final thoughts.
I would love to just say ditto, but I'll take it a step further. Please, sex slavery's out there. Do what you can to fight against it. At the same time, our president needs our support. We want him in there another 4 years. So
absolutely. Thank you so much. Mr. Elias, man, real quick, man, final thoughts.
To the ill-informed voters, the ignorant voters, man, get the information before you go out there and vote. Don't just go out there and vote and believe what anybody hands you. Always get your facts straight and be well informed before you make your vote. It could save your life.
Absolutely. And all I have to say, folks, in a real short period of time we have, folks, just hug your kids. Hug your kids, hug your kids. And on that note, Mr. Elias says, GOG's not here. If it's Sunday, my friend, and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it?
It's time for the J. Rao Show.
You screwed that up, but that's okay. All right, folks, take care. God bless. We'll see you next time.